This is going to be a highly participatory service, so get ready. Kind of, you know, clear your throat so you can talk. Go ahead. There you go. Thank you. I would like you. Usually the first thing I do when I start a sermon is ask you to open up your Bible. So please today don't. How's that for something? That's the first time I think I've ever said that, and probably the last. But I would like you to tell us the Christmas story. Just say one thing about the Christmas story. I mean, like one thing that happened. Anybody? Sorry, but there was two of you. John? Baby born in Bethlehem. We had to let him go first because he's getting over his surgery. Can you, this guy, 10 days ago had his hip replaced. I mean, it's just amazing. Yeah. So. Angel visited Mary. Yep. Baby was born in Bethlehem. Come on, you must remember more. You don't want me to tell the story. Mary said, I am your servant. When the angel visited her, she did say that. Andrew. Angels freaked out some shepherds in the fields and said, go see the baby, right? Go see the, you know, shepherds. What an interesting thing, right? You know, common people. You know, we could be shepherds if we were in that kind of society, not fancy people. Sheep, you know, we start to think of Jesus being the sacrificial lamb and how much he uses shepherds in his illustrations. But the other thing, you know, about shepherds that we don't maybe always think about, these are very manly men. I mean, a shepherd lived outside most of the time. They were strong. They were, you know, managing the sheep. And they would be fighting off lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. You know, they would be fighting off very... I don't know if there are any tigers in, you know. But lions, it's mentioned. And bears. And David killed a bear, right? You know, and... What did you say? Can we just ignore that? So, yes, okay, so the next thing that happens, or one of the other things that happens, Joseph and Mary flee to Egypt. As he said, they went on the lamb. Okay. Yeah, that pup made more like a donkey than a lamb. A lamb wouldn't get him very far. God spoke, man, it's like you've been studying this thing, huh? this comes from leading, this is what happens when you lead the children's program for the pageant. God spoke to Joseph three times in dreams. And every time he obeyed. Other than Pat, can you tell me the three times? Don't be afraid to take her as his wife. Right? Right. Don't be afraid to take Mary. Give him the name Jesus. Flee to Egypt. Mm-hmm. And then, yep. Right. So then, right. So then the third one was to come back, which is when they went to Nazareth. So he told Joseph to take Mary as his wife. He told Joseph to take Mary and Jesus to Egypt. And he told Joseph to bring them back. And he obeyed. Right? I mean, Joseph is one of those characters, other than Jesus, there are not many people in the Bible of whom nothing bad is ever said. I mean, literally. I mean, which, you know, I mean, one of the things that does is it shows us that these are real people, okay? And there's hope for you and me, or at least me. I mean, I do bad, and there's still hope for me. But Joseph in the Old Testament, And Joseph in the New Testament are two people that you don't really see bad things about. So, I mean, even Abraham, you know, I mean, he's not the best of characters all the time. Okay. Anything else? I'm sorry? The Immaculate Conception. And there was no room for them for the inn. Yeah. Jesus is born of a virgin. There is, I'm assuming that's the Immaculate Conception you're referring to. There are differences about that. But, well, I'm going to assume that's the one you're talking about. And so the virgin, yeah, Christ, who was born of her, is of the Holy Spirit. And there's no room for them in the inn. They are, you know, they give birth to Jesus in a stable of some kind, probably like a cave. There'd be a lot of caves around that area. And we say it's a stable because she places the baby in a manger. Okay, we often think of this whole thing as a manger, and it's not. A manger is a feeding trough, right? Those of you who have children, can you imagine putting your children in a feeding trough? A newborn baby. It kind of looks like a bassinet, yeah, you know, but a little dirty. I did hear a yes back there. That sounds like somebody who's had their children for a while. And, you know, could we put them in a trough and leave them there for a couple of weeks? But Magi. Right, so it was all written about hundreds and hundreds of years before it happened. I think you said many years, I'll add that. And the Magi from the East had studied that, and they saw the star, and they came to worship Christ. Well, it must have been a prominent star. I mean, the scripture tells us it stopped over Bethlehem, right? And yeah, they had left. And wherever in the East they were, there's different ideas on where that would be. We're not told. They're just from the East. I'm kind of thinking New York City myself. That's east of us. But no. They came from the East. So now, you know, we hear about the visit of the shepherds who left their flocks, which would have been just shepherds just don't do that, but they go. And then we have the Magi, who are highly educated, you know, we call them kings. Magi aren't necessarily kings, but they're, you know, they're highly educated people. They seems like they were wealthy for two reasons. They had the wherewithal to travel, and, you know, they offered up three gifts, which were gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which every one of those would have been very expensive. Gold is, I mean, gold's worth its weight in gold, you know, and what's that, Mary? Pat. And the wise men, the Magi, went to a house, so they missed it. Right? Is that what you're trying to say? Joseph and Mary were in the manger. They went to a house and traveled all that way and missed it. Is that what you mean? When the Magi get there, Mary and Joseph and Jesus are in a home, in a house. It says that they came to the house. We're not told the exact timings. Many people believe it's that Jesus is about 2 years old at that point, because Herod, well, we didn't say that story, that part of the story, but as the Magi, yeah, Herod, when the Magi come into Israel. They go and visit Herod, which would have been the proper thing to do anyway. I mean, stop in and see the king, and you know, so that he doesn't bring his armies to kill you, that kind of stuff. But and they ask King Herod where they might find this one born king of the Jews, and then they go and visit Jesus, and they are told by an angel to go a different way, and they don't go back and tell Herod where they found the baby. But Herod has all the newborn men, males, 2 years and under, killed in Bethlehem. That's why people think it was 2 years. So that maybe this star appeared like when Jesus was born, and then it was there for 2 years as the Magi followed it, or, you know, or there till they get ready and they leave and they get there, and it's been 2 years. So I'm talking about people visiting. It's interesting, I think. Billy Joe and I were talking about this last night. Okay, so we had the shepherds go and visit because they hadn't been told. We had the Magi go and visit because they had figured it out. The stars had told them, right? And as they had studied Scripture in some manner. But in the Herod story, we find out that the priests were told. Because the Magi show up and say, we want to see this one who was born king of the Jews. And they look it up and they say, well, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem, right? And Herod believes it enough to have all the babies killed. I mean, they don't just say, bah, these guys are just dreaming. We don't have any indication that anybody from Jerusalem goes to visit. Now, doesn't mean it didn't happen. Okay, I'm arguing out of silence. That's a very weak argument. Okay, I understand. But it's interesting, we're not told of anybody. None of the priests, none of the teachers, none of them go and visit. Just a thought. Maybe they all did and nobody talked about it, okay? Or maybe some did and nobody talked about it, but we don't know. Anything else anyone wants to share? I mean, I haven't heard anybody talk about the little drummer boy yet. What's that? You didn't read that in Scripture? Thank you. Yeah. Besides, okay, I mean, the little drummer boy story is really kind of a neat story, but if you were going to go visit a woman and her baby, do you think they really want a drum solo? No offense. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I wasn't asking Jerry or Bill. I was thinking more of your wives answering that question. You know, and that's one thing that, you know, the drummer boy story, it's the Magi coming Christmas night, right? The night that Jesus is born, because they're still in the manger. So that's a twist of the story there. But yeah, you know, let's, I tease my children, I'm going to give my grandchildren drums. I haven't done that yet, but I really thought about a harmonica for my seven-month-old this year. The three-year-old. Yeah, he'd play with it. The seven-month-old, maybe another year or so, I'll get them a harmonica. But a drum set, you know. So if you could picture, you know, you've just delivered a baby, the way the story goes, and, you know, here, let me play the drums for you while your baby's trying to sleep. Yeah, anyway. But no, the little drummer boy is not part of the biblical story, as cute as it is, and as neat a message as it is. And that's one of the things to think about with this. We get various romantic things about this and various extra stories. It doesn't mean they're bad stories. I mean, the point of the drummer boy, I think, is, you know, he says, I have nothing to give this child. I'll give him me, right? That's the way it goes in the song. And I have nothing else to give, so I will play my drum for him. And that's a great point. What do we give Jesus? I mean, what's that? Ourselves. I mean, what does he need? The guy made everything, right? And he sustains everything, okay? That's almost like walking up to Bill Gates and saying, hey, Matter of fact, I want to be nice to you. I'm going to give you a $5 bill. Well, that's nice, but really? But we give Jesus ourselves. I think another thing we do, Jesus talks about, the two greatest commandments, right? The greatest is to love God, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. In the epistle of John, John tells us that you can't say you love God if you don't love people. If you don't love each other, you can't. How could you love God you can't see if you can't love each other? So, something to think about today. Jesus came for the unworthy. How many of us, how many people ever born, other than Jesus himself, were worthy of Jesus? Can you think of anybody? I mean, raise your hand if you think of anybody. Not one. I mean, none of us are worthy. And he came for the unworthy. He came for us. So one of the things, as we give ourselves to Christ, one of the things we can do is love the unworthy. I think that's a good challenge for us today. How can we love people who are rather unlovable? Okay? And there are times when all of us are rather unlovable. Okay? I hope that doesn't offend you. There are times even I am unlovable. I know you're shocked. I know. Billy Joe's sitting on the computer thinking, oh, let me tell you. No, there are times we're all unlovable. We might as well admit it. Okay? Let's not kid ourselves. But we can love them, those who are unlovable, because we are all that way sometimes. Now, we can give grace. I mean, of all the amount of grace we have been given, those of us who are followers of Christ, we have been forgiven of everything. We talked about, this candle is white because we're made white as snow. Jesus is represented by the white because he is pure, and in him we are made pure. I mean, how much grace is that? It's infinite for each one of us. So to look at people and say they're not worthy of being loved, they're not worthy of being forgiven, they're not worthy of grace. Sure they are. Or, yeah, they're not, but neither are we. I prefer to say yes, they are, because Jesus says we're worthy. There are people who can be mean-spirited. We were shopping yesterday, and we were over at Aldi. We go there a lot, and different people, and wishing people Merry Christmas, and most people were very friendly. And as we got close to the line, we were actually in line, but the line had kind of split a little bit. They didn't have too many checkout counters open and all that. And another woman just kind of pushed in ahead of us, and she just seemed really, really uptight. I've never seen her before, and it's none of you, because she's not here right now, at least not that I know of. Some people are really, really friendly and some aren't. And she deserves love as much as anybody, and she needs grace as much as anybody. We get cut off going around one of the traffic circles. They need grace, They need to be taught how to drive too, but they need grace. Loving those who are hard to love, just giving to people who are undeserving. Giving of ourselves, giving 5 minutes. That's a great way to love Jesus. You know, he says that we do it to the least. We've done it unto him. And I think one way we can do this, one thing that helps me, and then we're going to sing a couple songs and I'm done with this. This is one more statement yet. One thing that helps me, and I am not good at this, but I try. I like to think of myself the way Jesus would see me. And I try to focus on that because that makes me feel good. Okay? You know, how does Jesus look at me? What does he think of me? But then what I really try to do is see other people that way. You know, what does Jesus think of these people? There are plenty of stories, probably stories of people sitting right here, where you weren't doing so well, something really wasn't going well, and somebody did something nice for you, and it really helped. You know, you're really struggling, and people helped you along. What if we could try to see people the way Jesus sees people? You know, maybe their driving isn't the greatest, and maybe they do need to learn what traffic circles are all about. But God loves these people, and what might they become? You know, the people who were just mean, why is that? What might they become? And how can we love them? Yes, they're unworthy. No more so than each of us.